And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to a traditional version of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Marcus Thompson, this feels like a little bit old times for me, like even back to Thunder, when I used to cover the Thunder, where I'm in arenas as they're packing up and there's noises and we're back near event level. We see, I think they're setting it up for the Los Angeles Kings game, it looks like. It feels kind of good to be back.
Oh, we're back, baby. This is the nightcap of the we're backness, right? Like, we've had a lot of these experiences that I feel kind of pre-pandemic-y, and this is the perfect nightcap. Having people clean up in the background, the ambiance of post-game alterations. Like, yeah, we got a game to talk about. Let's go. It's the opener.
Yeah, and it, you know, from really the morning, it felt big. You know, we walk into Staples this morning for shoot around. They got, shirts on every seat like it's a playoff game, even though, like, nobody in L.A. wore the shirts. I was trying to get you to spot people, and you found, like, four in the crowd that actually put the shirts on. But you had stars here. Usher, Justin Bieber were sitting near us. Saweetie, who else? We thought there was others.
Kevin Hart, Kid Cudi.
Jack Nicholson in his familiar seat.
Jack Nicholson for sure. Adele.
Adele and Rich Paul.
Yeah. It's a nice little contingent tonight.
And packed. You know, it's a packed arena. When's the last time you've been in a packed NBA arena?
2019.
Yeah. And, you know, good. It was.
No, Memphis game wasn't packed. The Memphis playing game.
Nah, there was, like, some vax sections. Yeah. I think they let, like, 7,000 in. But, no, that was not a packed arena.
This morning at shoot-around, how many times were people, like, on the team, like, oh, man, this is a big game, right? Like, yeah. People kept saying that. This is a big one. You know, it's nice to be here. Or some kind of sentiment of they could feel that this was a big deal. So they felt it, too. It wasn't even just us.
Yeah, TNT was outside the Staples Center with their, you know, they set up their studio for the season tip-off show, all that. Obviously, you know, you're seeing Charles Barkley, Shaq around and everything. And it was a good game. You know, really from end to end, it was competitive. I mean, the Warriors pulled away in the last couple minutes. I should probably mention they won 121-114. But, you know, the Lakers were up early. It was kind of a little bit of a seesaw, a lot of interesting individual performances. What to you is, like, storyline number one?
I mean, the strength of numbers thing. Like, it for a half, it looked like, man, these numbers aren't that strong, right? It looked like they had put so much into doing this whole, you know, ramp up the offense, get a bunch of veterans, get a bunch of players, and it just looked like it wasn't going to work. At least not against, you know, a top-tier team. And then the second half, it clicked. So to me, that was the overriding story, was that, all right, they might actually have something here. And they believe that now, right? Being able to come back in that game and beat the Lakers, like Steph, Draymond, like, you know, they're feeling like, you know, we're deep. The depth is real. It's not like on paper, like, it's actual depth now.
Well, not only that, think about what happened with the team they're playing. What did LeBron, it was like 35 and 38 for LeBron and AD. Nobody else on the Lakers in double figures. So, you know, when you mentioned the whole, like, strength and numbers vibe, it's like they went out and beat these two stars that are supposed to drag the Lakers to a title this season because they were deeper.
Wait, I thought it was three stars.
Once, like I said on the last Warriors Plus Minus, Russell Westbrook is helping the Warriors out. And we don't need to get into his performance unless you want to. But in general,
we've done enough Russell Westbrook over the years.
I'll be on the Lakers podcast tomorrow. I'm sure that'll be a topic. It seems to be a topic around Lakers land.
I might need to have me as a guest on it.
If you want. So, Look, they were minus 168 last year with Steph Curry on the bench. And I think the goal this year is probably like be a zero.
Even, yeah.
Be a zero. And tonight they were better than that. I mean, what really, like, to me, they won the game at the start of the fourth quarter. It's Lakers up two entering the fourth. Curry's going to go to the bench. And because it's game one, Steve Kerr, I don't think there was any scenario in which Steph Curry's like coming back at the 8 minute mark, right? It was going to be pretty much around the 6 minute mark. And they ended up winning the stretch by six, turned a 2 point lead into a 4 point lead. But at one point, they jumped it up to eight. And it was, I mean, because the big difference between this year and last year, there's a few differences, which we can get to. But, like, last year at this time, it was Brad Wanamaker was the point guard of the second unit. Brad Wanamaker, it's like, averaged 4 points. Like,
yeah.
Had zero playmaking, you know, burst. Now, they tried to win those minutes, like, 6-4 and often didn't. And, you know, they tried other stuff. Eric Paschal at small ball center, all that. But, like, there was never an identity. To me, this second unit's identity is Jordan Poole's time. Like, that's just what it is. And he had, in the start of that fourth quarter, an 8 point burst while he's limping around because he tweaked his ankle. But it's a transition three. It is a sneaky right, like a wrong footed righty layup over Dwight Howard, and then like a lefty finish over Davis. And I mean, I assume you're going to write about it because I know you're writing about Poole, but it forced him to put Avery Bradley in the game even. But that second unit won the game there, I thought.
No question. And you could hear it in Steph's voice afterwards, right? Like, he kept talking about how everybody pitched in. Those 6 minutes were far more comfortable this time. Normally, it's high anxiety, it's tension.
Come on, Brad, hit this, Brad.
Right? Yeah. Now, it was chilling. And the thing about Jordan, and, you know, it's a lot like Steph Curry. Not obviously not the same, but the way he plays forces the defense to do things and other guys can take advantage of it, right? So him, like, he hit the transition three, which, all right, can't let this dude get hot. Now you got to get out on him. And then he drives,
yep.
Right? And now you got help rotation scrambling. And you know who's ready to feast on that? You know who's ready to take advantage of a guy who's closing out too hard or a guy who leaves him open? Like, Bielitsa. Bielitsa's crashing all those crevices. Like, he's in there. And then if he doesn't finish, he's, like, making a play, dropping a dime. So it's all feeding off Curry. I mean, off Poole, similar to how it does for Curry. And that's important.
That's an identity for a second.
That's exactly what it is. And they've been trying to – this is what they tried to get Wiggins to do. And Wiggins was better when it was Jordan Poole running the show. Like, he finally hit the big three when it was the driving kick and the passing and all that. So they definitely got an identity. It was it was something. And you could say this is one game and it's not that big of a deal. Just like that's what they were saying last year when they got completely blitzed by Brooklyn in the opener. Or was it Milwaukee?
No, it was Brooklyn in the opener, and then they went and lost by like even 30 or 40 more in Milwaukee.
And it wasn't much, and it proved to be like more of an aberration than anything. But this was something. It at least showed that it's not going to be like last year where we don't have anywhere to turn. And that, to me, was the unique part. They struggled in the first half, and they were trying things. Moses Moody got some action. It was some Damian Lee. Otto Porter didn't even get a shot for a while. We was like, where's Otto Porter? And then he get a shot. Andre Iguodala played huge minutes. They could kind of piecemeal this thing together. If something's not working, they could just flip it and do something else. And that's kind of what the best part about that strength and numbers thing is, because they don't have another star who can carry them. They got to do it this way.
This hater didn't even mention Gary Payton's 7 seconds of hell.
Clutch 7 seconds. Clutch it. Who was that? Was that Rondo trying to dribble the ball in front?
Who you think it was?
Oh, it was Russ, right? It was Russ.
No, Russ.
It was Russ. He tried to dribble the ball in front of the mitts. The mitten. Come on. But, yeah, he came in and contributed. Hey, Moody was bad. Moody was pretty good.
Let's talk about Moody, because I certainly didn't write about him, and I know you're not writing about him, but, like, that was 6 minutes of That's just like encouraging. Like, what is he going to look like on this stage? It's, you know, he keeps advancing to the next level, right?
Yeah.
Hey, he looks pretty good in summer league. Hey, this preseason mop-up duty, he looks like he belongs. Okay, they tried him with some rotation. Like, it was okay in those two final preseason games. Well, tonight, I mean, we set the stage for the game. I mean, this is a huge. This feels like almost like a playoff level atmosphere and talent on the floor. And, like, those are six good minutes. He had that one play right in front of us in the corner where they swung it to him, and it's Anthony Davis closing out on him, and he pump fakes, blows by Davis, and then, like, he didn't dunk it, but it was really a burst to the rim and, like, a layup, and then it's, like, land,
and
run
Davis
back on
defense. Back, too, like, so he could feel him there. Like, it was a tough bucket. It wasn't, like, a regular bucket. And that his first shot was a little rough, though. That little free throw was like, oh, this might be too big for him, but. He kind of bounced back from that.
He did. He had a couple, like, loose balls he corralled. And, you know, and just, like, his vibe is very confident, like, that he knows he can, he does belong, you know, on the court. And, like, that isn't the story of the night at all, because we need to talk about the other people that matter more within the context of the game. But as we, like, zoom out and, like, you know, how deep can this team be? The fact that their rookie looks like, they could, you know, Steve Kerr could have played him 20 minutes tonight if he needed to, and he would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty big deal.
That's a pretty big development. And it's important because he is a rookie. But it just showed, like, I didn't think Steve Kerr would throw him in there. I thought Otto Porter would be the kind of star new acquisition. And I thought Bielitsa would be the guy who Steve might not be able to play,
like,
that much.
Somewhat of a specialist.
Yeah, like, because they were going to attack him. And they tried to. But, man, he was the revelation because, yo, that dude was out here making play. Like, he had the bitch going crazy. Those, like, kind of slow drive Euros. And then he hangs and throws it the opposite direction to the dude.
He pumps LeBron one way with a fake pass. And then he's like, oh, I'm throwing it to the corner. Whoops, I'm throwing it to the wing.
Just like, yo, where's the ball going? And you know who seemed to, like, kind of know where the ball was going every time? Damian Lee come out of nowhere with the layup.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I got an email postgame. Somebody said Walmart Jokic
Okay, see, there we go.
Here we come. Well, you're the one that showed me the tweet. Somebody said we be elites. With the be elites of spelling.
That dude, yo, I didn't like. We've
you
already
heard, sound like Draymond and
no,
Steve.
We've already
Steph
heard
Curry.
He could pass stuff. I just didn't know that, like, he had the ability to, you know, obviously he could pass and obviously he could shoot. But there's a bit of, like, I don't want to say courage because he's not soft, but, like, he's coming down in transition, and he wasn't, like, shy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was a lot of guys had the open
just
lane.
Take the shot at Omri Caspi that you want.
He's just like, no.
Just do it.
I'm not doing it.
Jonas Jerebko.
I'm not doing it.
The ghost of Jonas Jerebko. Jonas Jerebko had some games for the Warriors, so we can't overreact. Like, well, I just mean, like, you know. And then by the playoffs, Jonas Jerebko couldn't even be played. Maybe that happens with Bielitsa.
I'm just saying, he coming out of transition, and he's like, all right, I'm about to make a move, and I'm getting here. I'm coming. Okay, I'm pump faking. The guy running too hard. I'm driving. And he's, like, attacking. It wasn't like, okay, I made a move. Now I don't know what to do. I don't want to shoot. Let me figure out what else I'm going to do. So, to me, I just didn't know he had that level of, yo, I'm about to take this. I'm about to, I got this. I'm about to do this. And
he closed tonight.
Yes.
And he was in the two biggest buckets of the game to, like, seal the win. It was what you're mentioning, where it's a drop down past the lead. But I think even the most important one of the night is they're up 9 with, like, 2-something left. And they, you know, Lakers are desperate, so they're blitzing Curry. They're trapping Curry. Get it out of his hands. Just try to force action, try to force a turnover. Curry flips it over to Draymond, who kicks it to now a diving Bielitsa, and it's one of those that we've
kind of in traffic, yeah. Right? Like, it's a tough pass. Well,
you know what it is? I mean, it's the play we saw a bunch during Kevon Looney's 15 minutes that wasn't, you know, converted because it's Kevon Looney, like, catch. He kind of hesitates, pump fake. Oh, yeah, kick it out, and, like, you know, the offense screws up. This was Bielitsa driving in the lane. He drew LeBron and Davis, and then what you know kind of faked it to the corner, and then slipped it out to Wiggins on the wing, wide open three. Wiggins hits the three to really seal the win. But I just think he really is going to help alleviate the Curry pressure, the double team. You know, the box and one, all the stuff that we've seen in the last couple of years, the junk defenses that Steph talks about. Like, Bielitsa helps that a lot.
Oh yeah, he's going to make you pay. He's going to make you pay. If you leave him open, he's going to hit it. And he can drive and set up other dudes. And they've got the weirdest kind of, like, most non-defense lineup. They can just throw it out there. And they're going to be difficult just because they're gonna hurt teams with their movement and passing. And you don't know where the ball is going. And it's just kind of frenetic. Like, and Bielitsa's part of that. Like we thought he was going to be food, right? It's like, all right, there's going to AD. And you know how Steve is, man. If you can't guard, he's going to sit you down.
Not this Steve.
Steve is out here chilling, yo. Steve is out here like a whole different coach now. He's a whole different person. That belly performance will buy him a lot of grace. I'll say that.
You know what he did really well tonight? He rebounded. He was in the mix. He was tipping balls. He finished with 11 rebounds. And, like, you know, they didn't get killed on
LeBron.
Yeah, he did. He flagrant fouled LeBron. He's really getting in the mix. But, you know, like, Dwight Howard, like, he was, like, battling Dwight Howard and tipping balls so Dwight Howard couldn't get him. Like, that's huge stuff against this Lakers team because they are more skilled and they should have a better offense than the Lakers. The Lakers want to beat a Warriors-type team by just mauling them. And, like, Bielitsa seems like what you're saying, somebody you can maul. Yeah. But he was not mauled tonight.
And, you know, remember we were thinking, you got to play Bielitsa with Draymond. Mm-hmm. Man, he's like a legit stretch five.
Yeah,
you could put him at center, and if you give him some shooters, like, you're going to have issues on the other end, but they're going to need to get buckets on the other end because you put some shooters on there, he could be a legit stretch five.
Well, that's the second unit. Now, well, at least the one they used tonight that worked really well. It was Poole, Lee, Porter, Iguodala, Bielitsa at the five.
So you saying when James Wiseman come back, it's like, all right, sit on the bench because Bielitsa's the center.
One game and he's starting this right now. One game. We'll see. I mean, Bielitsa will.
It's not one game. This is worth 10 games. It's like a 10-game performance. This is opening night against the Lakers.
It was.
This wasn't the Charlotte Hornets. This wasn't the open. This wasn't Orlando Magic here. This was LeBron hitting every jumper he threw up and still beating them.
LeBron looked good.
Oh, man, did he look good. He looked so smooth and effortless. He looked rested. He looked unbothered. Yeah, that shooting display was kind of incredible.
Yeah, and Steph Curry goes 5 of 21. And the Warriors win. I mean, that's – how about –
haven't seen that in a while, right?
Iguodala was, like, spry. I called him fresh in what I wrote. And just, like, hit a couple threes. Looks kind of confident releasing the three right now. On defense, it's like he's switching from LeBron to AD as a strip on AD in the post. And
what about them hands?
I don't remember how well my brain's working on this, but I'm like, he kind of looks at least as good as he did the last time we saw him in a Warriors uniform, right?
Yeah, he looked like playoff Andre. Like, he drove and had that tough, like, kind of finger roll and all that. He wasn't doing that stuff in past regular seasons. He was, like, chilling. And then in the playoffs, he would do it. He took
me. Again, this is a playoff game. You know, is he doing this against the Thunder next week? Or is Otto Porter getting his minutes?
He probably might be able to chill. And there was a moment where Steve took him out, and he looked like, why are you taking me out? Like, yo, we about to win this game. And it felt like he kind of wanted to be on the court. And that was at 22 minutes. He was taking threes without hesitation. That's playoff Andre right there. That's Andre trying to show, yo, I'm not 47 years old. Like, I'm a very well-kept 37-year-old man. Like, I'm in great shape. Let's go. I'm ready. And LeBron, you bet he's got to be tired of Iguodala.
Who's more tired of who? Is LeBron more tired of Iguodala or is Steph Curry more tired of Avery Bradley?
Oh, definitely the latter. You can just see his whole vibe. He's like, all right, so I'm just going to draw the double and pass, move the ball, right? Avery, here comes Avery. I don't feel like dealing with this dude. I
thought this was just a practice thing. Thought he was on my team. Guess he's not on my team.
He's supposed to be here with me, and now he's guarding me. And watch me end up playing them in the playoffs, and I got to deal with him seven times.
Oh, what's up, Joe Lacob? Hey, Bob Myers, sitting courtside.
Oh, and you're making threes, too. Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
Gary Payton really helped in those 7 seconds.
Those are big 7 seconds, though. You can't put the ball down in front of Gary Payton. He's going to take it.
Yeah. You know, anything else from this game stood out?
In a good or bad way?
Either. They put a little zone defense. I thought that was kind of interesting. You mentioned the Moody aspect.
Damian Lee, man. Damian Lee. I said... But before, I should almost tweeted this. I'm glad I didn't. Before Jordan Poole broke out, I was like, it looks like Damian Lee might be taking this spot sooner than what I thought.
You better calm that down real soon.
I got to call. Jordan Poole's like, what? Let's go. Let's get it in. But Damian Lee is like a really, like he's almost, he's the perfect glue player for this team, right? Like you can just put him with so many guys. He's making the open threes. Like, I mean, it's LeBron on fire, but like he was active and engaged. He wasn't scared. Like he's just a good, solid player who can do enough things to be serviceable on the court. Steve called him fantastic. He just had a really good game. He was talking about being at peace and all that. You could kind of see that in his game. Like the way he moved around there just wasn't much tension. Remember he had some clutch shots last year, but he seems like he's ready for a bigger role this year.
I remember there was a point earlier where it looked like he saved the season because they were 0-2 after those two games we mentioned earlier, and he had a game winner in Chicago.
Yeah,
it was like a huge, huge shot. Yeah, I think along those same lines, one of the things I just kind of noticed, like they have so many different lineups they can go to, and there was a moment, I think it was like mid-third, early third even, where, look, Looney wasn't good tonight. Bad matchup for Looney, whatever. But there was a quick second half trigger to they tried Juan, who has kind of entered the game a little bit out of the rotation. Ended up getting minutes because Draymond got in early foul trouble, and then Kerr wanted to go small. And you know, you put Juan in, and I thought that lineup worked well. It kind of forced the Lakers into some uncomfortable lineups themselves, and then also like there was that like the lineup. You mentioned Lee. It was Lee, Juan, and Iguodala with Steph and Draymond. And now, while Steph and Draymond might not have got every veteran that they wanted or some big splash trade, there are some players you know they just trust out there. And that, to me, is like the Steph-Draymond lineup is Steph, Draymond, Juan, Damian Lee, and Iguodala. And Steve, it seems, very comfortable. Like, that's a weird lineup. If you were like, you know, there's no centers.
It's a weird lineup against the Lakers, right? Like where you got LeBron and AD you got to deal with. You ended up with Juan isolated in the post on AD. But it's the combination of toughness and the ability to spread the floor. Damian Lee spreads the floor. Juan hit a big three. You know, he had been struggling, so he hit a big three. If he could make that shot, you get the same toughness and kind of grit that Steve loves, but you also got somebody who can hit shots. It's a good lineup. It's going to be a lineup that's going to be a problem for bad teams. Like that, they will bully bad teams.
Yeah, Warriors play Clippers on Thursday, home opener, and then again Sacramento, Oklahoma City on the road, and then I put the 8-game homestand, you know, game for game in the thing I wrote post game, but it's like Hornets, Thunder, Pelicans, Bulls, you know, a couple other bad teams. And it's like, you know, you look at how they're playing and you look at what's ahead of them on the schedule. And I'm like, there's a huge opportunity for them here to go like 9-3. You know, something like that. Now, look, they have to win these games and, like, nothing will be easy. But I just, like, you know, I think they need to take advantage of this situation. Just the groove they're in, it seems, and preseason I'm including in this groove. And a soft schedule to really, what I think will ease a lot of the pressure we thought they were going to be facing coming into this season. We thought this, like, Klay Thompson looming return would, you know, we would all be like, you know, when's Klay coming back? He needs to come save them. Yeah. They have an opportunity here to give him a real soft landing spot.
Oh, yeah. And it changes everything if they start well, right? Like, it changes the scope of everything. It gives them confidence. Like, imagine Wiseman coming in a winning situation without the pressure of, all right, man, we're struggling. You got to save us. We're getting killed.
There's going to be some Marcus Thompson pressure of, like, should he even be playing over Bielitsa right now? Like,
how far? I mean, that's your guy, man. You talk about – this is why he's here.
That's your guy. That's your guy. You and Wiseman are sitting there talking about, like, old school rap today. The guy's like 20 years old.
You were replacing him with Bielitsa already. Like,
my bad. I thought you meant the other way around. Yeah, I mean, you still got Kuminga to add to this mix too.
Chris Chioza.
There you go. Jeff Doughton.
Yes, and Klay Thompson, who had a great time on the bench tonight, enjoying this Warriors win. He was very engaged and involved.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk after the home opener, which is Thursday night against the Clippers. A Clippers team without Kawhi that I think is a little overrated. So Warriors should probably look to win that game. Talk to you then.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.